Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey, it was only a 23-20 loss to a Super Bowl contender. But your record's now 3-12. What carries more weight? I'm Jeff Phelps, Jake Volnick. I just called him the striking Viking. That one works?
That one works. I like that one.
There, that's something to think about. He's in for Andy today. We go to the fan hotline. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com, where you can read all of the work of Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You don't have much talent on offense, and you hung with the Buffalo Bills, and you lost 23-20, but you still lost, and it's only three wins, and you have 12 losses, and my guess is you're changing head coaches. What do you think?
I think I agree with all the early stuff. I don't know if a decision – I don't think a decision's been made yet on Kevin Stefanski.
I struggle with the fact that – I hope not.
I struggle with the fact that, you know, just one game, is that going to change the opinions of the Haslams? You know, he's been here for 6 years, right? You have a pretty good body of work. You know this guy. I'm not saying games don't matter, and they do, and a strong finish could only help Kevin Stefanski, and the continued development of Shedeur Sanders could only help Kevin Stefanski. So, I thought the team played pretty well yesterday. The offense showed signs of life, 22 first downs. I did think you saw some growth from Sanders outside of the couple of interceptions. You know, the defense was awful early, played better in the second half. So, you know, the Bills are a really good team. The Browns are big underdogs. They almost pull it off. They just, you know, need a couple plays at the end that they weren't able to make. So, you know, I thought it was a fun game, and I thought they looked pretty good, but it's another loss.
Scott, what did you make of the Ian Rappaport report that we got over the weekend, basically saying that, you know, Barry's going to be a big part of what moves forward here, but that changes, you know, not necessarily expected, but could be happening, that Barry would be back here, and it sounds like from Ian that'd be more so the case than not.
Yeah, I don't know if those decisions have been made. I think that I have a hard time separating Andrew Barry from Kevin Stefanski when you look at this team.
Agreed.
How do you just blame Stefanski for, you know, 3-14 and whatever this year is going to be without looking at the roster and going, man, you know, the roster plays a big part of this. The quarterback situation has been unsettled. We talk about the offensive line and the receivers every week. So, I don't know. If they go 3-14 and 3-14, I think it would be difficult to bring either guy back. But, I know the Haslams like both guys. I know the Haslams really love and respect Andrew Barry. And maybe they could want him to continue to be the guy at the top of the organization. I get that. I think you have to balance the – if you're going to make big decisions, right, which includes firing a coach, then you have to take into account, okay, where does this really good rookie class, does it balance out the other misses that Andrew Barry has had in his tenure as GM? Then you go, okay, you're going to trust Andrew Barry to hire a coach. And then you're going to have to hope that those guys are together for a long time because – you don't want to hire a coach, and then the next year be looking for a GM. That just creates all kinds of issues. So I think it's easier if it's all or nothing, but that doesn't mean that that will be the decision.
The time frame here doesn't work real well for decisions about Shedeur Sanders. You know, he didn't get in until a little later in the season. Well, okay. He was the fourth guy at the start of the training camp, so I understand that. You understand that. A lot of fans don't understand that. And apparently didn't show enough early to beat out Flacco and then beat out Dylan until he had to because of concussion. That said, he's shown glimpses of, well, that's interesting. I'd like to see more. I still feel that way. But you've got a coach and a general manager who may or may not be around and might be paying the price. What has Shedeur shown you through more starts, Scott, that makes you think yay or nay one way or the other?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen the deep accuracy, which I think is impressive, and I think it was necessary given the lack of explosive plays this offense had made, you know, for the first more than half of the season. But I think most importantly, we've seen progress almost on a weekly basis. And, you know, I'm not even saying, you know, was he better in Chicago than he was against Tennessee? No. But do you look inside of some of the throws and inside some of the decisions and say, okay, that was better than the week before? And I feel like that's been consistent. There's been a consistent improvement from one week to the next with Sanders. Part of that's, you know, physically, you know, yesterday he completed more passes. You know, percentage-wise, 20 for 29, so 69%. He entered at 52.2, so that was a big improvement. Part of that is the mental aspect of it. He realized he needed to get the ball out of his hands, take his checkdowns, focus on completions. You know, there's Tommy Rees, the coordinators, talked multiple times about how, okay, the first time Shedeur sees something, okay, maybe he's not convicted enough to make that decision, throw it downfield. They show it to him again. Okay, this is what it looked like, and he lets it rip, and it turns into a completion. Whether it's a, you know, 60-yard catch and run to Jerry Jeudy, or a play to Harold Fannin, even in that first action against the Ravens, and there's been plenty of those examples of him getting better, him seeing the field more clearly. I think his athleticism has been better than I had expected, and we saw it again yesterday with those scrambles. Can it get him in trouble sometimes? Sure. But he gives you an element there, which I think is necessary in today's NFL. So there's been he's tough. So there's been a lot I've liked from Sanders, and I do think there has been this steady progression that's exactly what you're looking for with the rookie quarterback.
Combine that, though, with the fact that the Browns keep moving up in next year's draft order. How's that sit?
Yeah, I think it is going to be simple. I think you look at wherever they wind up in the draft, whatever quarterback that is going to be available to them at that spot, whether it's Mendoza at number one or Moore at number three, whatever it turns out to be, or nobody at number six, whatever it is. And you compare that guy to Shedeur Sanders, and that's the decision. And if you like that guy so much better, right, and you think that he can be a top five guy in the league, but you only think Shedeur can be a top 12 guy, whatever those comparisons are. And I think you have to make those projections and look at the decision like that. I think that's what it's going to come down to, Jeff, because if you only think Shedeur's, you know, he's a star, you believe he's going to be a starter in this league. Believe he can be a long-term starter, but he's number 15 in the league. And that's not the guy you're looking for to take you to a Super Bowl every year, right? Or put you in Super Bowl contention.
Right.
And you think Mendoza is a top five guy and a generational quarterback, then you can't pass him up because Shedeur Sanders looked pretty good over the last 7 weeks. So I think it's going to be that simple of a comparison.
I agree.
I think it should be that simple.
I agree with you.
So, Scott, then with all of that taken into account, did yesterday put us closer to, you think, Shedeur Sanders being the quarterback in 2026 or us drafting one?
I think he got better yesterday, so I think that's a step for him, and I think he improved his standing. But I'm not sure. I just don't think he can show enough in seven starts to say, I am for sure the guy, right? You know, it goes for 400 the next 2 weeks, and we're having a different conversation. I just don't think the sample size is enough. And we've seen enough mistakes or enough issues where, you know, it hasn't been perfect, and not that you'd expect it to be perfect. But I have a hard time believing that he can convince you that he is the guy without any question of a doubt. And then you go to the draft, and if you think, let's just assume they think Mendoza's the guy, I don't know, but if you think Mendoza's the guy, you have a chance to get Mendoza, and you think he's Andrew Luck, or you think he's whoever, right, whoever you want to put out there, and you think he's a sure thing, I think that overrides whatever Shadur has shown you. Now, if he doesn't, and you look at the draft kind of like you did last year where there's Cam Ward and that was it, and you didn't like anybody else enough, then yeah, then you can run it back with Shadur Sanders, and I think you can feel pretty comfortable and excited about, hey, let's give him a year and let's see if he can prove us wrong, or not even prove us wrong, but let's see if he can prove that he is the guy and that he can be the franchise quarterback. I don't have a problem with that, and I don't think the Browns would have a problem with that. I just think it comes down to your evaluation of the quarterbacks at the top of the draft class.
Scott Petrak joining us, ChronicleTelegram, BrownZone.com is where you can read all of Scott's work. Quinshon Judkins yesterday, dislocated ankle, according to Kevin Stefanski, and a broken lower leg. We haven't heard anything about the knee. Have you heard anything? Everything seem okay there? Have there been any updates that we've missed?
No, there haven't been. No, as far as I know, it's just those injuries. You know, Kevin Stefanski sounded pretty comfortable that he was going to be able to bounce back, and I know he says that when a lot of guys get hurt. But I did feel a sense of optimism from Stefanski that this was something he'd be able to come back from, you know, relatively quickly, which if you're saying that, then you probably rule out serious knee injury. But I think we'll know better today after we talk to Kevin again.
So then going through and looking at the run game for the final two games, obviously gets a little bit more difficult. We've seen the last 3 weeks Shadur lead the running game with Quinshon in there. How much more difficult does that make this offense to assess in these final two?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I think that's a good point. And we talked about it before, but, you know, you have to, when you're evaluating Shadur, it's with the lens of, man, the offensive line's beat up. The running game hasn't been very good. Limited receiver, right? You're missing David Njoku the last couple of weeks. So all that factors into it. You know, they were able to run the ball pretty effectively in the second half yesterday with Raheem Sanders. Trevion Williams got some carries. You know, I'm sure they're hoping Dylan Sampson can come back over these last 2 weeks. He's got the hand injury. I know they would like to see more of him. So it's not going to be as good as it would have been with Judkins. You know, Judkins is a big-time player. I think the hope is that they can build on what they did yesterday, because that run game yesterday, even though Shadur led the team, you know, they gained 160 yards, was so much better than it had been the previous 2 weeks that, you know, I'm sure they're thinking, okay, let's build off of that over the final 2 weeks and give Shadur some help so it's not just him having to throw the ball 45 times.
Scott, we'll listen for you in Kevin Stefanski's press conference. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
BrownZone.com. Scott Petrak does a great job of covering the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram. Jake just mentioned the Ian Rappaport tidbit that's out there about Kevin Stefanski, about Andrew Berry. We're going to hear that. And love your thoughts on it, because should these guys be separated or are they a package deal? 216-474-0092. Volnick's in for Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. We're on The Fan.
As always, you can listen to this show and all of our local shows on The Fan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Jake Volnick. He's in for Andy today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Coming up at 19 minutes, Tyvus Powell from the Browns Radio Network is going to join us. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll hear Kevin Stefanski's press conference after the Browns losing to the Buffalo Bills 23-20. Ian Rappaport, one of the NFL top reporters, works for the NFL Network, always does good stuff, always has interesting information. Was where on the NFL Network, Dano, or was this on a podcast?
Nope, it was on NFL Network.
Okay. Had this to say about the Browns situation, front office-wise, coaching-wise.
Our understanding is that no decision has been made with Kevin Stefanski. Now, Paul DePodesta, who has run football for the last decade or so, he is now going to do the same, well, not football, but baseball for the Rockies. So Andrew Berry, obviously, is going to be very involved in this decision on where the Cleveland Browns go from here. Again, no firm word on where, but some change would make sense given how tough a season it has been.
Okay. clearly separates Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski there. If Andrew is going to be heavily involved in the decision-making moving forward when it comes to that, no decision's been made on Kevin.
Yeah, sounds like, at least from what Ian's saying.
According to Ian Rappaport.
Right, we're sitting here with...
courtesy of the NFL Network.
Berry's job completely intact. And almost, I mean, if the report's true, it's a guarantee that Berry's back next year. And far from a guarantee that Kevin's back next year. Which would tell you that Jimmy Haslam and the entire ownership group has completely separated those two that, for years previous, have been telling everybody we're tied at the hip. We work as one. We're one unit. And you assumed if one went, the other one went.
That's if Ian's on the money. When
you know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When it comes to that thought.
Right.
And Ian's a good reporter. He's not just making that up. So he's hearing that from somewhere. Again, I go back to this. Kevin won 11 games twice. First time he basically did it with John Dorsey's team. So Andrew Berry, to me, doesn't get, you know, that's Kevin coached up a team that had some talent on it. And then they won 11 games another time with more of an Andrew Berry team. And I thought they did a great job with that, but still had a lot of John Dorsey people on that team, but also did not. So if you look at this whole thing, to me, Stefanski has shown that when he's been given some talent, he can coach it up. He's had, of his 6 years, he's had two miserable years, and they're the last 2 years. And Andrew Berry has had those same two miserable years. I don't understand why Kevin would take the hit for it and Andrew wouldn't. That's the thing. If you're going to keep them both, fine. If you're going to get rid of them both, fine. But I don't think you separate them. Because to me, one draft does not show that you're phenomenal at what you're doing here. And that's why, to me, they'd be a package deal.
I mean, I would struggle to separate them. My fear with separating them is you basically become the Tennessee Titans, right? Like, you basically go back and forth between hiring and firing a GM and your head coach and flip-flopping them, and then you basically don't have guys that are on that same page, are tied together, which is ideally what you would like. Like, as much as Barry and Stefanski didn't have the most success in the last 6 years. Obviously, a sub-500 record over their tenure together. It was nice that there was at least consistency, and that's what I'm sure the Browns were shooting for, was this idea of continuity, that everybody was on the same page. Now, this is the first year it felt like there was any, you know, basically fracture at that point, that it didn't feel like guys were on the same page. But keeping one and getting rid of the other, it kind of reminds me of the quarterback situation. Like, if you're going to keep one guy and not keep the other one, you better make sure that the guy you're keeping is going to continue to do a good job. Like, you better make sure that if Andrew Berry is here, that this next draft class looks a heck of a lot closer to the one that he just put out, not the five that he did prior.
I keep going back to this, Jake, and Jake Volnick's in for Andy today. You hear him on overtime during the evenings when he talks to himself a lot, by his own admission. I can't get away from this. And I'm not saying Kevin's, you know, the best coach in the league, because he's not. There are other guys I'd rather have. But I think he, when given talent, I think he's done a solid job. In 4 years, he won 11, 8, 7, and 11 games. To me, that shows that when you were given some talent, you had a pretty good idea what to do with it. After 5 years of trying to build a team, did the Deshaun Watson trade derail things so much so that Andrew Berry gets a pass for the last 2 years? Because if Kevin's not going to get a pass for the last 2 years, why would Andrew? Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, at this point, you're supposed to have built up the talent on your roster. You've had 5-6 years of it. Coach isn't going to take, you know, chop, you know, whatever.
I was going
to bet. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's the thing to me. Over time, the roster should be built up. Well, you had a big roadblock thrown in the way with, you know, with Deshaun Watson. So if Kevin's going to take the hit for that, then why shouldn't Andrew? Because to me, the roster is just not good. And it's after 6 years of trying to put a team together.
Yeah, I mean, I'm to the point that I look at Barry, and I would say that I'd be very comfortable looking at things and saying, if you wanted to move off from him this year, I'd be comfortable with it. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with moving off him. Same way right now, I can't make much of an argument for keeping Kevin Stefanski. Like, we both said it, coaches don't win 6 games in 2 years and keep their jobs.
No, that doesn't happen.
Like, and typically the coach is the one that moves on a lot quicker than your GM does in a lot of scenarios, right?
In many, yeah.
So I just sit here and I struggle because there are a lot of things, even within the last 2 years, even if you scrap the Watson deal, that you look around right now and Barry has not done a good enough job. Like, who brought Jerry Jeudy in? And now, not for very big of a trade, but then decided to put a contract extension in front of him.
A pretty solid extension.
Pay him like a top 25 wide receiver in this league.
Yeah. Right. And Jerry Jeudy.
And he's not certainly not performed like that.
He's had three catches for 12 yards.
Yeah.
That's the reason we call him Milk Carton on this show.
But now, see,
let me. Place you can find him.
Is that Jerry's fault? Or is it because you have a quarterback playing behind a line that, you know, blah, 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 blah?
Right. Like, I don't think that's Jerry's fault. I also look at it and go, Jerry is a top 25 wide receiver. If you consider that paying a guy like a wide receiver too, given the fact that there's rookie contracts and everything out there, probably closer to the right estimate of where Jerry Jeudy should be. Problem is, you didn't put a wide receiver one behind him, and you certainly didn't pair him with wide receiver two, or in a lot of people's eyes, probably even a wide receiver three behind him.
This is the thing, is there are aspects of this roster that have been built up really well. Defensive line is in fantastic shape.
And I think Andrew Berry has consistently done a good job of bringing in veterans on that defensive line to help it work. Defensive tackle and a defensive end.
Linebacker seems to be in fantastic shape. You know, between, and I'm not even putting JOK in the.
And that's with JOK being hurt.
Well, and I'm not putting him in the conversation. He very much, I want to make sure he can walk the rest of his life and have a really good life before he thinks about playing football.
Agreed.
So, like, but with Carson Schwessinger right there, you could say Devin Bush and whatever direction you want to go with the other linebacker spot, that's in really good shape. Cornerback, I want to see what Martin Emerson looks like coming off of an Achilles injury, just due to the fact that that's an injury that saps athletic abilities. You need that to play corner in the league. Tyson Campbell trade looks fantastic. That looks like a slam dunk. Well done, Andrew Berry. The secondary seems like it's in good shape. The offensive line is a train wreck. The wide receiving core is a train wreck. Well, maybe less of a train wreck. Isaiah Bond looks like he could be something, but it's not good. If we're circling one rookie wide receiver for a guy who caught a couple of deep balls, I mean, that's a pretty low bar. That's the thing with Andrew Berry, is one side of the ball has looked pretty darn good. The other side of the ball has been a mess.
One aspect of this that I just received a text from my buddy TB, and he said, I think the draft is, he basically thinks it's overrated, this last draft. And I understand his thinking on that because I like Mason Graham. I like Schlesinger. I like Judkins. I like Fannin. The two quarterbacks, we'll see if either one of them becomes, you know, a real big deal in the NFL. And I think Dylan Sampson has the ability to do some things. But you did draft two running backs, and you drafted two quarterbacks, and you didn't draft a wide receiver, and you didn't draft an offensive lineman. So, you know, if you were on a roll, maybe you shouldn't have taken two quarterbacks, and you should have, you know, if you had an offensive lineman, you probably should have drafted an offensive lineman, as it turns out, instead of two quarterbacks. And let's just say Rocket Sanders goes out and plays really well yesterday. Did you really need to draft two running backs? You know, so again, I like Dylan Sampson. I hope Shador ends up being something. I hope Dylan Gabriel ends up being something. But you didn't address your two biggest needs on offense in that last draft.
Yeah, and I think the other side of that, too, is Andrew Berry drafted positions that we already knew he was pretty good at evaluating. And quite frankly, the positions that I think a lot of people look at and go, you know, for what it's worth are the less impactful positions, right?
Well, and you can get running backs. And
right, the replaceable positions.
They proved that yesterday. Rocket Sanders, who they picked up, you know, cheap late from the Chargers, and Travion Williams, who they got off the scrap heap, coming to play well.
Yeah,
and defensive tackles. You see that all the way around the league.
Also against one of the worst run defenses in football, though.
Correct.
Given, except you see running backs step in and do the job all around the league.
Linebackers do it, defensive tackles do it.
Later round picks. And did not address the offensive line situation or wide receiver.
But you were so deprived of talent at that point anyway.
Right. I know.
I know it's again, those kind of positions, but man, you needed blue chippers.
No, I'm not knocking this draft, but you didn't address the offensive line or the wide receiver, and you did double up on a couple of positions that made you scratch your head a little bit. Chuck's in Willoughby. Chuck, welcome.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Chuck. Thank you.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I wanted to talk about how the defenses were playing Shador earlier, you know, and it seems like teams are starting to scheme against Sanders with a little bit more respect. Do you guys think that's enough to keep him going forward?
I don't know that they're scheming, showing a lot of respect for him or anything or not. Yesterday, I think he did a really nice job of taking what the defense gave him. And it seemed to me they were trying to take away anything down the field early on. And he hit the little dump off passes and it worked. And you can't knock a quarterback for taking what's there. That's what you want him to do.
I also think it's less of a scheming against him and more so playing him more like he's an NFL quarterback. Like when we watched Dylan Gabriel in, just because
that's kind of what I mean.
Yeah, they wouldn't push the ball down the field. You were seeing 8-9 guys in the box a lot of times, where now you're seeing a more standard defense that you're used to seeing in the NFL.
You saw the same thing with Sanders, though, early on.
Yes, agreed.
And the one thing I've wondered, Chuck, is did the coaching staff have the clamps on Dylan just like they had the clamps on Shadur? And we never got to the point with Dylan where we were able to find out, okay, are they going to let this guy turn him loose a little bit? Now, they did make him throw 52 passes in a game. Mm-hmm. Why, I still don't understand. But
yeah.
But they weren't the type of passes that he threw when he was at Oklahoma or that he was threw when he was at Oregon. You know, he threw the ball down the field when he was in college, but you know, that's Oklahoma and Oregon usually playing lesser talent.
Makes sense. And one more thing, would you guys have called a timeout to get Shadur Sanger taped up and get him back out there on that third and goal?
Chuck, thank
because
you.
Because we have 3 wins. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if it would have made a huge difference. Maybe it would have. Maybe it wouldn't have. They didn't. The finger was kind of a mess.
Well, I mean, reality is, if he has to come off the field anyway, he has to sit out a play, right?
I would think so. And yes, you do.
Like if you have to stop play for his injury, he has to sit out the very next play. That's the rule.
And you're not going to say, hey, can you give us 7 minutes while we fix up this finger?
Right,
they're not going to shut down the game for that.
I was seeing on social media too. Multiple reporters had and Dylan Gabriel's just warming up on the sideline between those two drives when Dylan had come in and then between because they didn't. I don't think knew for sure that Shador was going to be back out there. Like they were figuring out the finger in the meantime. Yeah. I don't know that would have been figured out within the small sample size you had. 30 seconds, a minute to call a timeout and get him back out there.
Bloody fleshy things hanging from the end of a finger usually are never good.
It usually takes a couple of minutes.
Usually does
at least.
Tyvus Powell played in the NFL. Tyvus now plays with us on Sundays. Part of the Browns Radio Network. He's going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. 3 wins, 12 losses. I don't think anybody expected the Browns to go to the Super Bowl this year, but I don't think anybody expected that either. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps, Jake Volnick, in for Andy Baskin today. We bring in the gentleman who is with us on the Browns Radio Network. Pre-game with Andy, post-game with me. He's Mr. Tyvus Powell, the former Ohio State Buckeye, Bedford Bearcat, and, of course, defensive back for too many teams to name in the National Football League. Hello, Tyvus.
How are you gentlemen doing today?
You know, it's fans have been in a more reflective mood. The anger seems to have subsided. And I don't know if that's good or not. Is that accurate, you think, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, there weren't too many angry people today.
No.
After another Browns loss.
I think that they kind of, well, there's a lot of things. One, people went into that game realizing that the Browns would probably lose that game. I think they were more encouraged with the fact that how close the game ended up being at the final results. So actually, you kind of was excited, but then you got fans who want to lose to get the higher draft pick. So it's kind of a conundrum situation where you want to see the team getting better, but you also don't want them to win so you can get a better draft pick. So it's a very interesting area that the Browns are in right now.
All right, Tyvus, we go through. There were some ups. There were some downs for Shador. What did you see that he did positively that he made strides doing? What were the things that you didn't like, and which one outweighed the other?
So, the one thing that a lot of people have been talking about with him is he still holds the ball too long. Well, he got the ball out of his hands pretty quickly. You think about his first touchdown drive. He hit a lot of quick things. Ball came out at a good time. I love to see that. Obviously, it was very effective. And I think that's just kind of how you want to do it, Kevin Stefanski's offense right now. You know, you want to hit the short stuff, get that defense to start biting up. But the difference between him and DG is he still will throw the deep ball. So I think in this mindset, I think their game plan was we're going to hit the short stuff early to try to get that defense to bite up and then throw the deep ball later. just didn't get an opportunity to get to that later part. The interceptions, the two interceptions that he threw, obviously I would like for that ball to be a little more in front of Quinshon, you know, to make it a little bit easier of a catch. But at the end of the day, you know the rule. If it touched your hands, you got to be able to catch it, hit right off his shoulder pad, and it bounced up for an interception. And then the other one, I didn't like that pass because I feel like even if he threw the pass and completed it, like that guy, he kind of threw him like a hospital ball. The receiver gets wiped out on that play. If you go back and watch that, obviously that defense alignment throws his hands up, tips the ball up, and then it gets picked off. So I just didn't like that at all. I thought he did a really good job of improvising on certain plays, showing his mobilities, extending drives. I thought just early on in that first half, he was really cooking. You could tell that, you know, when he's been starting, it's been times where he's made some plays, but then that offense gets stalled out and you don't see anything. Where he had the chains on his mind early in that game, and I thought he did everything he could to keep them chains moving, and I really like seeing that. Still think that he still misses some reads. I think that that's, you know, one of the things that in the offseason, a lot of people talked about not being able to see the protections, not being able to read the coverage fast enough. And I think he's gotten better. I still think he's not quite where he needs to be yet. But I think what's saving him is that he's showing his improvisation by scrambling around and buying himself some time to figure out exactly what they're in. And then he's making them pay. So I just wanted him to speed his mind up a little bit quicker. Which one outweighed the other one is your question? I think it was, I'd say it was more good than bad. I walked away a little more encouraged than discouraged, I should say.
Tyvus, I think it's tough to evaluate just about anything going on with the offense just because of the state of the offensive line with the injuries and everything that's happened there and the lack of productivity out of wide receivers. But is that because the quarterback and the offensive line? It all ties together to me, and it's tough to evaluate anything. With that in mind, Browns had the football with 2:47 left, down by three, and a chance from the 12 to go 88 yards and win the football game or get in the field goal range and try and tie the game. And Shador completed a pass to Corley for a first down and then sacked for a loss of eight and then incomplete, called for intentional grounding, and then you're looking at an incomplete pass to Jerry Jeudy, and then they punted. I've had people complain to me that they should have gone for it on fourth down there instead of punting and trust your defense, blah, 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 blah. Can you take anything out of that last drive on Shador? Or, again, is it – and it's just so tough to evaluate anything going on with this offense.
Yeah, it's very tough because of the offensive line and things like that. I just think that goes a little bit back to – because it's weird. Like,
it is.
They'll say that he doesn't understand protection. He doesn't understand who's coming hot and slide protection or flipping the protection on certain plays and things like that. And they say like other quarterbacks struggle with that as well, but at least they know that somebody's coming free. But like when you watch some of the plays, like one of the plays, Greg Robinson just got completely blew up on the play. And it's just like, how am I supposed to know he's going to be free? Like, you think the tackle would be there to stop something. He kind of just runs through the tackle. So it's weird. It's weird. And I guess, like, if they're blitzing, if it is a blitz and he's not understanding where the blitz is coming from, I guess you could blame it on him because it should be like, you should know that guy's going to be free because you know we're not going to block that up. So that means you know that the ball got to come out fast. Like, it's things like that if you want to be nitpicky on certain things. But a lot of the times, offensive linemen missing some blocks, and it's just like, I don't know who would do something, who would be able to thrive in something like that. So the Browns have put themselves in a situation where, and I'm becoming very Switzerland as I do on a lot of these situations because I'm 31. I like to see it from both sides, and I understand both sides. You got one side that says, if the Browns finish in the top two with the top two pick, you absolutely have to take a quarterback. They've only taken two quarterbacks in the top 20 since 99, and that's Tim Couch and Baker Mayfield. You know, and the rest of the quarterbacks have not been. So you have that, and then I think you went to the playoffs with those two quarterbacks. So you have to keep that part in mind, right? But then you got the other part that's like, well, Shador got some good things going on. We should fix everything around him and then, you know, give him 26 and see what it is. I feel like I'm good either way. I feel like both can be right. My thing is,
you got people that are saying that Shador, you got people in the building who say Shador isn't the answer. And my thing is, y'all been in the building for years and y'all haven't evaluated a good quarterback yet. So it's like, can you trust that? Can you trust their opinion? Like, I feel like the Browns put themselves in a situation where it's hard to even trust that they know what they're seeing, because we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it since they came back of good quarterback play. So can they identify what a good quarterback really is? And I think that's what's got a lot of the fan base, especially the Shador fans. It's like, oh, y'all ain't never evaluated a good quarterback anyway, so y'all don't know how good Shador really is. You know, that's why a lot of people are like, if you trade him and see him go somewhere else and then he signs, you'll be upset about it. So it's a very conflicting spot. I tell you what, if Shador wants to remain the starting quarterback, he holds the keys to doing that. And I'm going to tell you how.
Tell me how.
He win these next two games. We ain't talking about no top two pick because we will not have it. And they will have a choice not to go with Shador in 26.
You're so right on that. It's silly. If he wants to be the starter, go win two games, right?
Yeah, he can nip all this quarterback talking in the bud right there. Just go out there, win the next two games, mess up the draft order, knock him out of the top five, and you will be the starting quarterback for 2026.
That's really true.
Tyvus, looking at the defense, because this is a unit that, for the most part, we think is going to be entirely back. We've now seen back-to-back games where first half they kind of get gashed on the ground a little bit, they give up a ton of yards, and then figure it out in the second half and do much better. What is happening on that side of the ball in the first half that then is all changing in the second half? Is that feeling out the opponent against you and just a natural feel of things, or are the Browns doing something to come out flat?
No, that ain't no natural feel thing. What's going on is that ever since Malik Collins has went out, we have not been good in stopping the run. And, you know, when they were gashing us earlier, I don't know what was going on with Mason Graham. I know when they got down to the goal line, Mason Graham was on the sideline getting checked on his, I don't know if his ribs was messed up or not. I know he's suffering the cracked ribs and, you know, you can't really heal those. Those just kind of take time. So I don't know what was going on in that situation, but when he's not in there, you can tell. It's like 71 North up there. Boy, James Cook was doing whatever they wanted to do. He made one little cut, and it seemed like it was for like 15 yards a pop. I think at the beginning of the game, they was averaging 10 yards a carry in the first half. So, yeah, that ain't got nothing to do with coming out flat or nothing. You just ain't. It looked like back when Joe Woods was here that one year and we ain't had no defensive tackles. That's kind of what it looked like. Obviously, they made some adjustments. You know, Mason Graham played in the second half more, and it kind of took away some of those runs and stuff like that. But, you know, we got to figure out what's going on with our defensive tackles. I know Mike Hall didn't play due to illness, you know, and Mason Graham, like I said, he was in and out. We got to get more depth there. We don't have a lot of depth behind those guys, and you can't let Malik Collins be the only reason why this defense was able to shine. You know, to me, he's like the most valuable guy on defense this year, because now that he's not in there, it looks like a totally different defense.
Tyvus, we got about a minute. You've been involved in a bunch of different NFL organizations. You've seen good head coaches. You've seen head coaches on shaky ground. You've seen good GMs, not good GMs. Are the GMs and head coaches usually tied together? Because, you know, you're hearing reports that Andrew Berry might be running a coaching search and helping decide Kevin Stefanski's future. And on the other hand, you have Kevin, who won when the roster was pretty good. The roster is not really good now. Is that on him? How have you seen it in other organizations?
Yeah, they never – in other organizations, they weren't tied at the hips. You know, I've seen GMs get fired, and I've seen head coaches get fired. I've seen both get fired, you know. I think that – this league is starting to become about – it's not about what you've done. It's about what you've done lately. And if you're going off of that mindset, then you can argue that AB has done more lately than Kevin has. I mean, you just look at the one draft and the getting Malik Collins on the free agent deal. Like, you look at those moves, and it's like, okay. And then you look at Kevin's record, and it's like, well, in that situation, you were going AD. But I just think they've always said that these guys was linked at the hip. They were together. And I don't know. It's just this year, it just seems like that's not been the case. And it all started with
Kevin having to answer for everything and AB skipping that media thing for the bye week. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if they're as in sync as they used to be. It kind of seems weird to me. Like, you don't really see them two together like you used to.
See you on Sunday.
I'll see y'all Sunday. Go Browns. Go Bucks. Go Cavs. Go Guards.
Tyvis Powell.
Go Jackets.
And Bearcats.
And Bearcats.
There you go. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Tyvis.
See y'all later.
Tyvis Powell joining us on the Fan Hotline. You can hear him on the Browns Radio Network pregame, postgame. He said, can you trust this front office to evaluate a quarterback? Can you? 216-474-0092. Jake and I will share our thoughts next on Baskin and Phelps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.